for your great job this morning. Praise the Lord. We're going to go to the Word. Amen. Hopefully not keep you too long. All right. We're going to Joshua chapter 4 this morning. And I want to share with you verses 1 through 9 of that passage. And we're going to talk about the value of a legacy. The value of a legacy. Looks like a good group in here today. Appreciate your coming to the house of the Lord. Amen. I know there's things that you could be doing, but I know the Lord is pleased when you take time out of your schedules to visit His presence. God bless you. Amen. And thank you for coming. Wednesday night, there will be service here, and you'll be in good hands with Brother Cruz and Brother Smith. And then Sunday, right back here in the house of the Lord, with both of them ministering in the Sunday services. And then Wednesday night, the next Wednesday night as well, and then we'll be back for the following Sunday. So just keep your spirits high and trust God to meet you here. Amen. Joshua 4, 1 through 9. If you're there, say amen. It came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man. And command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Which we believe that place was called Gilgal. When Joshua called the 12 men, then Joshua called the 12 men, whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. That this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan. And the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a what? Memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spoke unto Joshua according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. And the church says, amen. Father, thank you, Lord, for the word of God that we have shared together. Ask that your presence, Lord, bring it to life today. Bring it to life and speak it into our hearts. For thy word is life. Thank you, Lord, for every family represented here. Lord, as we reflect and remember back to this situation and record in our text, may we glean truths that will appropriate to our lives in this day and age in which we live. In Christ's name, everybody say amen. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. Praise God. I read a interesting piece of humor recently. It stated that a sign on a psychiatrist's office door read as such: amnesia patients must pay in advance. Amnesia patients must pay in advance. That doctor didn't want to take a chance that the patient would forget his bill. Many times in Scripture, God reminds us not to forget. We're not to forget His blessings. We're not to forget His benefits. As a church, we are not to forget the cross. We're not to forget the sacrifice of Christ. Thus, we have here at Broadway the reoccurring ordinance of the Lord's Supper. We call it communion. Likewise, we must not forget the sacrifice that people in our country have paid for our God-given liberties. And really, likewise, we must not forget the sacrifice. You see, the freedom has been paid for. Our freedom has been paid for in advance by others. Is that not true? We must pay in advance now for that same freedom that those who will experience and come behind us can reap the benefits of. Because if one generation forgets this, then it's all lost. So one of the most important days, I think, that we celebrate here in America is this weekend, Memorial Day, a day to remember those who have been or have given the ultimate sacrifice for our national freedom. And without their bravery, without their heroism, their sacrifice, and our daily pleasures and freedoms would not be possible. How many enjoy freedom? Boy, it's a great thing. And this weekend, we pause and we recognize the great price that's been paid. And to show our national pride, in a sense, and gratefulness for those who have paid so much or so dearly. And truth be told, Memorial Day really doesn't mean what it used to mean. For most recently, Memorial Day is just another Monday holiday, marking the beginning of many areas their summer break, as many of the schools are letting out. And it provides the first real chance for many to have picnics or barbecues and maybe go to the lake or something. But it hasn't always been that way, because Memorial Day grew out of the human need to remember where we have been. Only then can we really figure out where we are going, right? And the cherished memories of a nation or a town, a church or a family provide the values, the dreams that one generation is to pass on to the next. Because if we forget, that means we drop the torch. And so we desperately need to remember the lives, the legacies, the lessons of those upon whose shoulders we stand today. And we want to remember men and women who paid for our freedom with their blood. Christ paid tribute to such sacrifice when he said, and it's already been displayed in that clip, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends," John 15:13. So we have a lot to remember. We need to remember the freedom-loving patriots who birthed this nation over 225 years ago. Considering the, I thought this week about the 57 men who signed our what was called Declaration of Independence. Those men were not just renegades or rabble rousers. Most were, history says, soft-spoken men of means and men of education. 25 of them were lawyers and judges, and 9 were farmers and plantation owners, and 11 of them were merchants. And the Patriot group also included some physicians and educators and musicians and a painter and a minister, and several of them were sons of pastors or ministers. They had security, church, but they valued liberty more than their security. And despite the danger, they defiantly pinned their names beneath the words "for the support of this declaration," with a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. "We mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor." So today we remember our nation's heroes. Amen? Thank God for them. So now as we come to our text, it's a memorable one that is highlighted with the phrase, What do these stones mean? What mean these stones? The background of this passage is probably one of the most transitional periods in the Old Testament. You see, there was a new leader. Moses is dead and Joshua's in charge. So there's not only a new leader, there's a new landscape. They've moved from the landscape of the wilderness wanderings into the landscape of the promised land of security. So they have a new leader, new landscape, and now a new legacy, because a stone monument is being built to inform all the peoples of the earth how powerful and how eternal the Israelites' God was and is. Amen. I better put that in there. The importance of establishing a memorable legacy is demonstrated in the text here, revealing the value of a strong foundation being laid on the memories of great moments of victory. And today, our nation's reflection on the brave heroes of freedom is really kind of a classic modern example of this Old Testament practice. So I want us to look real quick here with 3 points. My first point is this: 3 benefits of valuing a legacy. The 3 benefits of valuing a legacy. The first, I want you to notice, it's a reminder of the facts. Everybody say facts. Upon crossing the Jordan River, the Bible tells us the children of Israel took up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan River, carrying them over and laying them down in a pile, so to speak, on the banks of the river. This was a direct, obvious, visible mound of uncut natural stones. Each one was probably very large and heavy, not yet carved or formed by human hand. It was a reminder of how God, and really God alone, had brought them thus far, providing supernaturally for them by giving them their own land. It was an established marker to remind them and the subsequent generations of the unparalleled blessing of having God alone as their guide and their protector. Now, those untouched, manipulated stones stacked there reminded all of them of the incredible miracle of God bringing His people into that land. And it gave national pride and confidence in God's hand that was upon them. Now, we can say the same thing about how God has protected and provided for our nation. Can we not? With our own land, miraculously, God has preserved us, defeating enemies and foes with definite victory from time to time. Our military prowess is not what has made the USA safe. It is God's supernatural hand of protection and providence. And in it has not been by might, as was that Isaiah said, it's not by might or by power, but rather by the Spirit of God Almighty. So that's a reminder of the facts. Now, next I want you to see a reflection of their faith, because Joshua set up 12 stones now, not only on the banks of the Jordan River, okay, that was visible, but he set up 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan River, in the place where the feet of the priests who bore the Ark of the Covenant, the Bible says, stood. This part of the passage is often overlooked or neglected. And notice that Joshua set up these 12 stones just like the first, yet this memorial was in the middle of the Jordan where the priests' feet stood. Now we ask, who would ever see those stones? Have you ever wondered about that? Who would ever see them? I mean, Joshua did that, though, as a reflection of his faith, which symbolized God's unseen hand would continue to guide, even though no one would see his hand. Follow me? Just like those stones under the murky, muddy waters of the Jordan, God knew they were there.
And Joshua believed the promises of God and said he would never leave us nor forsake us. So just like the pile of stones in the middle of the Jordan, our faith is also in that which we cannot see. Our faith is in the workings, in the power, in the provision, in the protection, and the love of an eternal heavenly Father. And although the waters or the storm rages around us, I know that He is there. He is going to provide the strength. He's going to be there to support us when we need Him. Somebody say, praise God. All right, so these stones were reminders of their need for constant reflection upon an invisible faith. All right, and then finally, the reinforcement for the future from verse 14. We did not read that text, but it actually says that on the day the Lord here now magnified or exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel. That day, they made these monuments, and they feared, the Bible says, which really is used for the word respected him. They respected him as they had respected or feared Moses all the days of his life. So the last benefit here is more personal. With new leadership comes a trial period, and everyone had known Moses. The first two verses of the book of Joshua introduced Moses as the servant of the Lord. Now, that's pretty good. While Joshua is introduced as the son of Nun, assistant to Moses. So he was not well known. He was not yet tried. Notice verse 14, it says that on that day, the Lord did something for Joshua that was unique and necessary for a nation, for an organization, for a church, for a family. And that is, He gave them trusted leadership again. And when the children of Israel established value in this legacy, God blessed them with a leader that they could trust while blessing Joshua with the confidence of the nation. And so this was critical for the establishment of their new lands and the new battles that they would face in the next several years as they drove out the Canaanites. Now, in this generation, I look at this, and church, we must remember the sacrifices of those who have given their lives for our freedom so that they have brought benefits to our hurting, disoriented nation. We can be reminded of all the facts of how God has given us this land. We can reflect on our faith that was the hallmark of the founding fathers of this nation. And we can develop greater leaders and a more blessed population because of strength and courage. How many know we are in a famine of good leaders in our generation? And so we have got to build on the faith of God's word, build a new legacy. Someone has rightly observed, it is the soldier, not the reporter, who has given us freedom of the press. It's the soldier, not the poet, that gave us the freedom of speech. It's the soldier, not the politician, who has given us the freedom to vote or to assemble or even to demonstrate. It is the soldier who salutes the flag, who serves beneath the flag, and whose coffin is draped by the flag, who allows the protesters to burn the flag. Hello. In other lands and in other times, those freedoms don't exist. We have a lot to be thankful for here in America. Memorial Day provides the opportunity to remember also parents and grandparents and others that have blazed the trail that we walk. Church, we need the encouragement of, I believe it's Deuteronomy chapter 6. The context is different, but the reminder is still the same. Moses reminded a new generation that they were entering a land with large and flourishing cities that they did not build, and houses filled with good things that they did not provide, and wells that they did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves that they did not even plant. All of us were born in such a land if you're here today. and we enjoy the abundance and the freedom that we need, that we have not paid for. None of us, no doubt, went through the hard pioneer days when our forefathers battled the prairie to build a town or a community as rough as our streets can be sometimes in Lorraine. None of us have wrestled a horse and buggy, right? Or even a Model T, probably, through knee-deep ruts in dirt roads and streets. Most of our farmers are beneficiaries of the hard work of others who cleared the land and built the homesteads. And even those who grew enterprises from the ground up, no doubt started on the foundations laid by many others and maybe family. Many of us were the first in our families to finish high school or go on to college. Because why? Because of the sacrifice of parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles. We may have worked hard all of our lives. Don't get me wrong. Many of you have worked hard all of your life. But we labored with opportunities also that was won by others. So we have a lot to be thankful for. And somebody raise your hands and say, thank you, Lord, for those that came before me. Thank you, Lord, for those that came before me. Our church, I just was thinking this week, owes a debt of remembrance to the past generations that have sat in the pews that you're sitting in this morning. Hello? You see, I won't rehearse all the touching stories, but suffice it to say, not many of us in this room, at least myself, I'll speak to myself, we were not here when this building was built originally, when they tried to pay for this facility. And as Brother Fordyce has mentioned, the beams that you're sitting under was hauled down into the train yard. And they were wondering, was it? Brother Smith was wondering. They needed money to get those beams here from the train yard and didn't know how they were going to do. Listen, a lot of us was not here. We although we sit here and we are benefiting from the sacrifice of those who gave, previous generations who grew this congregation and developed its many ministries and forged its reputation, we remember them this morning and we say thank the Lord for them. Amen. Many of us, we know the name Bill Gaither. How many know the name Bill Gaither? I was thinking as I read this week, he and his wife, Gloria, are some of the pioneers of Christian music. And we sing Gaither songs from time to time. But in his book called I Almost Missed the Sunset, Bill Gaither tells of the experience that happened early in their marriage. They were just beginning their music careers, and he and Gloria were school teachers during the week and singers on the weekend. And they knew they wanted to settle in a small Indiana town. So they began to look for a place to build their home. And Bill spotted a rolling, wooded 15-acre parcel just outside of, I believe it was Alexandria, Indiana. And a corner of the property, he said, would make a perfect spot for their first home. So everyone told them when they began to inquire about that property, everyone told them that a 92-year-old retired banker owned that property and that he would never sell it. And because many of them had tried to buy that land. And the old man would always explain and say, well, I've promised it to farmers who can use it for cattle. And so in the process of time, when Bill and Gloria finally arranged a meeting with the man, he gave the same response that he always had. He said, not for sale. He pleasantly said it, but firmly he said, I've promised it to farmers for grazing. But partway through the conversation, the old banker paused and he looked at Bill Gaither and he said, what'd you say your name was? And Bill Gaither says, Bill Gaither. And the gentleman thought for a moment and said, any relation to Grover Gaither? And Bill said, yes, sir, he's my granddad. And that old banker put down his paper and his pen and removed his glasses and said he just stared at Bill for a moment. And he said, interesting. He said, Grover Gaither was the best worker I ever had on my farm. He always gave me a full day's work for a day's pay. He was always honest. He said, Bill, your granddad was a good man. And he said, you know what? He said, give me some time to consider this deal.
To make a long story short, the owner not only sold them the corner piece of property, but he sold them the entire 15 acres for what they were prepared to pay just for that corner lot. They bought that land, they built their home, they raised their entire family there. And Gaither wrote about the experience, and he said, nearly 3 decades later, my son and I, strolling across the beautiful, lush property that had once been pasture land, he said this, walking with his son. He said, Benji, you've had this wonderful place to grow up through nothing that you've done. You had all of this for one reason. And he said it was the good name of a great granddad that you never, ever met. That's the way it is with many of us. Let me speak to the middle-aged and younger generation here at Broadway this morning. We have had this wonderful place to worship and learn in for many, many of your lives. You've had the privilege and of being part of a strong, respected church in the community. You have this, in a sense, though, through nothing that you've done on your own. It's been because of the good name, the hard work, the sacrificial faith of people, some of whom we never knew. That's why we need to remember their sacrifice this morning and say thank God for pioneers of faith. We have so much to remember. One Sunday morning, an elderly pastor was rebuked by one of his deacons before the service. The deacon came up to the pastor and said, Pastor, something must be wrong with your preaching. Something must be wrong with your ministry here, because there's only been one person added to this church in 1 year, and that person is just a boy. The minister listened, and his eyes moistened and his hand began to shake, and he replied, he said, I know. He said, I feel the hurt. But he says, God knows I've tried to do my duty. On that day, the minister delivered his sermon, and his heart was heavy as he stood before his congregation. And as he finished the message, he felt a strong inclination to resign. After everyone else had left, that one young boy who the deacon had referred to came up to this elderly pastor and said, Sir, do you think if I worked real hard and got an education that I could become a preacher? Do you think I could become perhaps a missionary? And tears welled up in the old pastor's eyes, and he said, Oh. He said, that heals the ache that I'm feeling right now. And he looked at him and he said, Robert, I see the divine hand of God on you. He says, God bless you, my boy. He says, yes, I do believe you can become a preacher or perhaps a missionary. Many years later, an aged missionary returned to London from Africa. His name was spoken with reverence. Nobles invited him to their homes. He had added many souls to the church. He reached, history says, some of Africa's most savage chiefs and tribes. His name was Robert Moffat, the same Robert who years before had spoken to this resigning, heartbroken pastor that Sunday morning in the old Scottish church. Robert Moffat went on to win many souls to Christ. He was the father-in-law of David Livingston, who you may identify with that name a little more than Robert Moffat. David Livingston was also a Scottish pioneer medical missionary with the London Missionary Society. He was also an explorer in Africa. I read that and I thought, I would love to be looking on when that old, unnamed preacher comes marching into heaven. And as the Bible says, his works will follow him. Hallelujah. By extension, the multiple works of missionary Robert Moffat as well. And even more, I'd like to see the expression on that old deacon's face. as he sees the great procession of works that resulted from his old pastor's faithfulness. Praise God. God will honor those who work for him. God will honor those who are faithful. God will honor those who will sacrifice. Oh, may God increase in my generation those with a backbone that will not turn and run when things get tough, but will stand their ground and say, "Devil, I'm here to fight. I'm not here to run." We need to remember those. Why? Because obviously, I can't leave this theme without mentioning one last thing. Our greatest debt of honor lies in a sense an altogether different realm. We need most to remember that we have been blessed by Christ our Redeemer. Oh, church, we owe Him so much this morning. I said we owe Him so much this morning. I know I'm not screaming at you this morning. I felt to go this direction. And before we ever thought about Him, church, He was thinking about us. And before we ever believed in Him, He believed in us. Listen, before we, and He, the Bible says He has lifted us from sin into service. He has loosed us from hell and promised us heaven. He has taken our guilt and given us His grace. He took us while we were hopeless and now has given us hope where we can be hopeful. Listen, He put our regrets behind us and promised us great rewards ahead of us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And for by His grace we have been saved. Not of anything that we have done by our own. We have been bought. We have been purchased with a price. Listen, friends, we owe Him everything this morning. Raise your hands and give Him a praise. Praise God, I'm feeling good. Praise God. Oh, church, I want us to stand. I'm almost done, but I'm not quite there yet. I'm going to wrap it up here. We have been redeemed. We have been set free by the blood of Jesus Christ. How many know we are a blessed people in this house this morning? And as a Christian, that means we owe Him everything. Somebody say everything. We owe Him not 50%, not 75%, not even 99.5%. We owe Him 100%. And listen, I believe there's some folks in here that would love to honor Him this morning by simply raising their hands at this moment and saying, "Thank you, Jesus, for everything You've done for me. You saved me while I was lost, when a lot of folks in here would not have liked to even have met me when I was out in sin in the BC years before Christ." Listen, friends, somebody get excited about what Jesus has done for Broadway Assembly and raise your hands and say, "Thank you, Jesus, for lifting me up. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me so great a salvation." Glory to God. Give Him a hand clap of praise. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So, church, let's honor Him this morning. Let's honor Him with our lives. Let's honor Him with our words. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you're not a believer, maybe you would describe yourself as sitting on the fence. Maybe you're standing in the shadows or the sidelines, putting off jumping in and acknowledging Him. Listen, please, before you leave His house this morning, come on in. Join those of us that have surrendered to Him. Those that have asked Him to be the Lord of their lives. Every head is bowed and eyes are closed. In one sense, it is just a matter of giving honor to whom honor is due. Church, I want us to recall for just a moment what Christ suffered for us. Can we do that? I want you to think back to that final day of that Passion Week, that we celebrated several weeks ago with Good Friday and Easter. I want you to see for just a moment in your mind's eyes how He bled from every pore on His body in the Garden of Gethsemane. Scripture records that during His interrogation, He endured a beating that scarcely any man had ever survived. His countenance, His visage was marred more than any other man. The Bible doesn't lie. In His final moments, He suffered 7 or 8 inch spikes hammered through the nerves in His hands and His feet on the cross. In the end, He bowed His head and He died. Oh, thank You, Jesus. Somebody just give Him praise. Thank You, Jesus, for that sacrifice. So often we ignore it. So often we take it for granted. But church, the world hadn't seen the last of Him. For when He had declared it was finished and He died, the Bible says He then descended below all things. And then He rose again. Praise God. To become our perfect resurrected Savior. Oh, glory. I feel the presence of the Lord in this house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody praise Him right now. Not only did He die for us, but He rose again. Remember His sacrifice. And I wonder if there's anyone that would love to step out of your seat and come up to the front and say, thank You, Jesus, for dying that I might live. Thank You, Jesus, for dying so that I might live. Would you be brave enough this morning to step out of your seat right where you're at? Raise your hands and come and stand across the front of this church. And I want us to take a few moments and just reflect together. And just say, I'm here to say thank You, Jesus. I'm here to say thank You, Jesus. Thank You for loving me. Thank You for dying for me. Thank You for paying the price. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, and the great thing is the fact that in Christ, that sin that once dominated you, dominated me, is now dominated by Christ in us. Oh, hallelujah. Where Christ is declared, love is demonstrated, and lives are delivered from the power of sin. That's a fact, folks. I said where Christ is declared, love is demonstrated, and lives are delivered from the power of sin. Thank You, Jesus. Is there anybody here that feels that freedom in the house this morning? Anybody here that has that liberty? Why don't you just raise your hands and vocalize it for a few moments? Oh, thank You, Jesus. We are Pentecostal. It's okay to worship Him in a vocal way. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. I'm looking to You, Jesus. Although things may not be the best in my house, although situations may not be stellar in my bank account, I'm still going to take time and say thank You, Jesus, for all You've done. Hallelujah. Thank You. Oh, church, we're so far behind on our praise. Why don't you give Him some praise that's due His name? Thank You, Jesus. I feel His presence coming down. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Oh, I'm going to remember. I'm going to remember. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Oh, yes, 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 yes. What a mighty God. I love You, Jesus. That's it. Go ahead. Praise Him. Praise Him. Whoa.
The cost of this love, He'll never forsake us, He'll always forgive. May we never forget, may we never